time to hustle, America. Roll up our sleeves and make dreams happen. Midwest Momentum brings you stories of CEOs, startups, product development, and founders doing whatever it takes to make their big idea happen. Midwest Momentum is supported by Big Kitty Labs and produced by G&R Media. Here's Midwest Momentum hosts, Dan Rockwell and Michelle Gatchel.
Dan, we got a great show today, Midwest Momentum.
Excited. Catherine's here.
Yes, Catherine Kelly. She is the executive director of the Ohio Manufacturing Institute for the Ohio State University. My alma mater. Yes, I'm going to put my hand up. Woo, woo, woo. Go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Hi, Catherine.
Hello, how are you all? And I have to say, I love your interlude at the beginning of the podcast. It is really, you know, you're pumping it up at the beginning with it.
So tell me this, you know, how long ago did you start with Ohio State?
Well, that's a long story. I started in grad school and my background is in rhetoric and folklore.
Really?
And yes, it is. And then I got attached to the mayor's office task force on technology and the future of the city, and met amazing leaders in the central Ohio. You know, everyone from Kathy Sullivan, as you
love
know, from
her.
I know, incredible. And, you know, the chamber president and the head of Edison Welding Institute at the time, Carl Graff, and, you know, Chemical Abstracts, and then Nancy Kramer from Resource Interactive at that time. And, you know, you really got a chance to meet with a lot of the, you know, a lot of the, you know, folks who are at the front edge of technology in this area. And then that led to 12 years at the Ohio Supercomputer Center in Ornette. So talk about, you know, high end of technology.
Yeah.
And then I took a turn to the College of Nursing and learned a tremendous amount about the research that goes on in the health science colleges. I didn't even, you know, I have to say I had some stereotypes about nursing that was service only, but they're doing some incredible work, especially when they connect with public health. And I mean, they have the top online program, well, first of all, in at Ohio State. And then, you know, nationally, they're always in the top ranks for that. And then I realized that I wanted to focus in on engineering. So this opportunity came up with the Ohio Manufacturing Institute. It really blended a lot of my experience with, you know, with the mayor's task force and, you know, and what I was doing with Ohio Supercomputer Center. We had this program called Blue Collar Computing, where we were trying to bring simulation and modeling to small and mid-sized companies. And so all of that folded into taking a chance with Ohio Manufacturing Institute and working under he's a visiting scholar is what they call it, but our executive in residence, whatever you want to call it, Rich Spivey, who was the executive director for the first 6 months I was there. And he was from Honda, and, you know, he had developed this whole ecosystem from all the research he did. He really took the title of visiting scholar to heart and developed this whole advanced manufacturing support system, and, you know, sort of laid out all the different organizations and how, and we were trying to determine how we could remove the silos and really benefit the manufacturing supply chain. And
Then,
so I've been doing that for 10 years.
Wow. So literally it was like kind of a solution to a problem you didn't even realize you had.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, nice.
Crazy. Now here's a question. Are you still using any folklore powers in your current job?
Yes, I do, because, you know, even with my podcast, Manufacturing Tomorrow, it's all about other people telling their stories. You have to start with that. I think you have to start with that point first, as to make sure that other people are giving voice to what their needs are and what they're doing. And everything we do at the Ohio Manufacturing Institute is industry-led and industry-vetted. I don't start anything without going to them first.
Awesome. That's great.
So, what kind of manufacturing are we seeing in Ohio?
What are we not seeing? I mean, you know, when you're the third largest state in the union with, you know, in terms of GDP and workforce, you know, there are a whole host. You've got defense, you've got, you know, discrete and process, you have food manufacturing, you have, you know, of course, automotive, aerospace. I mean, you name it, we do it. I mean, everything from the smallest grommet all the way up to the largest, you know, plane, you know, are the parts for a plane. We do it in this state.
Or a spaceship, for that matter. Yeah.
Or a spaceship. So we do everything practically here. I mean, you know, we're number one in polymers in the U.S. And, you know, we have some amazing organizations like the Ohio Manufacturers Association. We have one of the best manufacturing extension partnerships. That's a National Institutes of Standards and Technology MEP program. You know, we have just a whole set of organizations, and you have Jobs Ohio, of course, you know, so you have all these different areas and really working together. I mean, it is really amazing to be a part of a statewide, I'm part of a statewide workforce and development group, and everybody is working together. So, you know, you couldn't ask for a better place to do manufacturing, really.
So it really is the heart of all. I heard Ohio's gone back to the heart of it all. That's right.
Yes.
Good thing or bad thing? You like that or no?
I liked it. I have to welcome that logo, and you know, they've gone through so many different permutations since then. You know, but you know, if Virginia can go back to Virginia is for lovers, I think Ohio can go back to the heart of it all.
Yeah, we can.
I bet it is.
Yes.
Hey, and if bell bottoms can come back in fashion, this can come back in fashion.
Okay, now I do have to be contrary about that one, but otherwise,
that's too funny.
Yes.
Hey, I thought you were living in the Gulfport somewhere. So hey.
Yeah. So it is interesting because a lot of times I have learned from other organizations on how to run our organization, and you know, it's really important to take the lessons learned. You know, just, I mean, I'm part of Ohio TechNet. That's an organization of community colleges and career technical centers. The first summer that I was on board with OMI, Glenn Dane, who hired me to be part of OMI. He said, "Why don't you just go out and visit some of these community colleges and career technical centers and see what they're doing?" And it really was a humbling experience because you have, I mean, all of these students, high school students working on robotics. I remember one time I walked into Ramtech at Tri-Rivers. Tri-Rivers in Marion. And
it's amazing.
There was a student going, "I just can't figure out how to take my robotic hand and make the hand turn its wrist so that it," I'm like, "What? This is insane." So, having those relationships and having, you know, and working with them on the Ohio Means Internships and Co-op program. Working with them on the Ohio Means Internships and Co-ops program and other projects, you know, I think that sense of trust goes a long way. And, you know, they have the Good Jobs Challenge. You know, they're working on scaling apprenticeships. And I see that all as a spectrum of what we can offer. There's so much room in the sandbox. It's just incredible. You know, there's so many opportunities, and we have to work together because it's just insane how many opportunities are available right now to support this.
Would you say Ohio State, is there a certain lane in manufacturing that we're farming students out into, if you will?
A certain lane, or
are there certain degrees or industries that we're really highlighting at Ohio State?
Well, I know engineering, of course, being in that environment for the last 10 years, and I mean the students, you know, they, you know, as with other you know, top 10, you know, engineering programs, you know, they get, you know, they have their pick of where they want to go. You know, there are different types of engineering. You know, I'm based on the research that I conducted with colleagues. We began work on an engineering technology program, which is different from a traditional engineering program in that it really focuses more on hands-on skills and ways to be creative within systems. That engineering technologist is usually the person who's the glue between the technician and the engineer, and we added the management level skills. So they're getting business skills. They're getting, they're getting professional skills. So when we're expecting when our first class of graduates are completed during spring of 2024, that they are with the skills, they're going to help companies move to the next level. I mean, we're infusing industry 4.0 skills and what we're teaching. In fact, we're going back through some of the courses this summer and building that into the coursework. And, they're really, it really is an interesting type of degree program that will complement the traditional engineering, but we have electrical in there, mechanical in there. So it really is a broadly based engineer we're going to graduate. So I'm so excited about that. I've never been in a situation where I started with the research and now we're going to be graduating these students.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Great. Because of this, in this era, obviously we're now about 9 months into the realm of what AI has been like, right? And I've noticed it's already transforming people who have never coded before, but had been aspirationally connected to the goal. They'd just never been on that terrain of necessary knowing the lexicon of how to do it. And I'm seeing people just transform. People leap into a level of they actually get to a point where they have to go back to school. They actually like, wow, I got this. Wait. Now I got to go back to school. So I can see, I'm just starting to see the AI kind of go into a lot of things, especially around education. Of course, there's less of concerns around it too, but there is this transformative power. And what I think is interesting about engineering, and my father was an engineer, so I grew up with an engineering family. It's true. It was human factors engineering. So we had to do everything safety. But one of the things I really loved at engineering is you're taught kind of an interesting dose of humility, psychology, alongside the core competency of human use interaction. And then you have, advanced systems and sort of where to go. So engineering is such a, and when with manufacturing now, and we're seeing the rise of new hardware startups. Traditionally, hardware startups are brutal. They're very hard to get funding. Do you feel like that's going to change a little bit because of the rise of AI and we have new engineering? Like, there's a lot of new modular thinking. Like you said it, like you can go to high schools and you see them, like kids are like building robots. So like, what do you see as sort of some more of this advanced curriculum or what kids should aspire to? I mean, kids today are getting the dose that there's a lot of options, yet, is there a stronger message for engineering than that for them?
Right. And, you have the infusion of these AI institutes and, you're seeing these relationships being developed between the National Science Foundation and Intel, and you have the CHIPS and Science Act. And so a lot of federal attention, of course, on the negative end as well, but also, the opportunities in manufacturing, focusing in on that and the opportunities for careers in an environment where you can really make a difference. You have companies like John Deere, for example, that have completely embraced AI, in agriculture. And a lot of people wouldn't even think of that as a track in AI, but it is, being able to be more efficient and to be able to produce more food, and streamline the processes. We're going to need that. So, just a lot of practical applications of AI that I think gets ignored, or it's just not as glamorous as some of the other applications, but it is there and it is happening and manufacturers are embracing it.
Yeah. So tell me about this hammer program. The other day you pinged me and said, "Damn, what do you think about this hammer thing?" And I was like, ooh, I checked it out. So tell us about Hammer. That sounds exciting. This is a new program.
Yes. So this is a $52 million 10-year National Science Foundation Engineering Research Center. And I think, if nothing else, that this program wins the award for acronyms. Because, you know, for HAMR, which means, you know, hybrid autonomous manufacturing, moving from evolution to revolution. And that really is at the heart of what the principal investigator, Glenn Dane, wants to do. And he's been doing this his entire career. I mean, he had a startup over on Kinnear Road, you know, many years ago. He's been part of the NSF I-Corps program. And that's another program that is very much industry focused. He was the person who was the first faculty member, part of the OSU Honda partnership. So when I first came on board, he was running that, I think, 10% of his time. He started the Center for Design and Manufacturing Excellence. So, you know, as far as being an entrepreneur as a faculty member, Glenn's about as close as you can get, if not the real deal. And you should have him on the show sometime. And, you know, he really is focused on taking the technologies that are developed from basic research and speeding the process up, you know, and, you know, a lot of times you think about research and you think, well, I think in your last episode, you were talking about, you know, failing quickly?
Yeah.
Getting to failure quickly. And that's exactly what he's trying to do with this is to, you know, get to the commercialization as quickly as possible, you know, sort of removing some of it really is an evolution for universities, even more so than a revolution for industry. It is to rework the processes within the university so that it is more streamlined. I mean, that's exactly the way he started with me with the OMI is, you know, we had these testing and evaluation services so that companies knew they had a way to get in that some of the larger companies had, you know, so that they could connect with a faculty member who was willing to do the research and had their dance card open for smaller companies. And so he's taken that and he's taken the work he's done on what's called digital blacksmithing and really trying to develop as, you know, a job shop at a university.
Yeah. Wow.
So you had this, for example, medical application. Just think about if you had next to the surgical room, a place where when somebody, you know, needs a new jaw or somebody needs a new hip, that they go, okay, can you do this for me? And using the best of additive and subtractive manufacturing to develop a part right there on site that is not, well, a lot of times hip replacements are more of an art than you would want, but they can actually develop it to the person's physiology and be able to. I've seen some amazing things from the Mayo Clinic, and they're a partner. Yeah. And you know, just awesome. The applications of being able to speed things up and moving it across the valley of death as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And even with that, it's not just the technology to production; it's also you know, the technology and the science to pedagogy. If you can get it into the curriculum when the student, you know, is a lot more quickly than it's done right now. And it is speeding up, you know, I'm seeing it's the process speed up, but, you know, to really focus in on how we can implement this. So I immediately jumped on board with the engineering technology program. And that's what we're doing this summer is we're training some of the faculty and they're going to be working with some of the individuals who are working on the research so that they can take some of our coursework and take it to that level.
That's awesome. I love that rapid manifestation space, and it's great. I totally got to get Glenn on the show. He sounds like somebody I would totally jam with, just because I love it at that level, because I think often academia doesn't really maybe potentially know the potential in a student until they're given both the organized highway of critical thinking, and then they're sort of like, go wild, right? You know, in that go wild space, we're seeing that now with AI and, like you said, advanced manufacturing. And the other thing I think that is interesting with Ohio State in particular is it's a big place for clinical trials. So you have Iowa State has a really unique footprint. I think it's completely different than most any other sort of research institution because we have all these factors that can work together. And they're not about, it's not necessarily about initiating new standards per se. It's about presenting new approaches, which then can inform a new standard of which then Ohio State can be a part of, right? I think that's really kind of cool.
It is really cool. And, you know, when I wear my other hat, which is with the Coalition for Academic Scientific Computation, you know, we had the chair of the National Science Board, Dan Reed, present at our spring meeting, you know, and just in relationship to students, you know, if students are if they have another outlet in college, you know, it could actually, you know, counter some of what Carl Sagan says, you know, that, you know, you get first grade kids, you know, and they have all these questions and they have all these deep, you know, what is a dream? And why is the moon round? Why is the grass green? And then you get them at 12th grade and there's none of that, you know? And so, you know, those who continue to ask those questions, those are the scientists, you know, those are the ones that have not been beaten down by the system, you know? So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So if we can find ways to, you know, through AI, through these types of programs to build up the creativity in a student. So they're, you know, it's like, you know, like you said, break it, you know, get dirty, you know, to try it out. And if it doesn't work, try something else. I mean, that's what we're trying to do here, right?
Absolutely. Well, wrapping up, is there anything for our listeners? You have a podcast. Can you tell us about the podcast? Can we promote your podcast through our show? Tell us about that.
Sure. If you go to the osu.edu site, you'll see it right there at the top, podcast. You know, that is something I've been doing for almost 10 years. So I've had, I think, 110 guests and, you know, mostly, you know, CEOs and engineering leads of a lot of the manufacturers. Although, you know, I've had folks on about reshoring and, you know, other trends in manufacturing to talk about that. And then the Hammer program, and that's for everybody. I mean, there's a, you know, we have space for anyone who's interested. There's a what Glenn calls Hammer time on a biweekly basis. You know,
I love that.
Yeah, it's on Thursdays at 4:00. You know, all you have to do is go to hammer.osu.edu and sign up for it. You know, and research has been pretty amazing. I mean, just what you already in the first 6 months, what's been developed with the research thrusts.
Yeah.
Been pretty incredible. So so those are the ones I would want to pitch. And the last one would be our new engineering technology program. And that's go.osu.edu/BSET, B-S-E-T. And, you know, I'm so excited. I'm going to have to be at graduation to see this.
What is that called? I'm sorry. Give us that. Oh,
we call it BSET. It's a Bachelor of Science in Engineering Technology. And so I'm so excited because this time next year, we will be, about 11 months from now, we will have seen our first group of students graduate.
That's awesome. And that's in that technologist.
Yes, engineering technology. But, you know, the degree program is engineering technology, but the career is engineering. So,
yeah. I love what we talk about the glue. I feel like I've been glue often, Catherine. I feel like I'm often glue.
Promoting the need for, you know, well, a lot of the things that we've been talking about in terms of AI and quantum, you know, how do you, you know, galvanize everyone so that they can, use advanced computing technologies to accelerate scientific discovery, you know, mm-hmm. So a lot of the work that's being, you know, done, you know, I've seen a lot of the science that becomes commercialized. And so I think my background in manufacturing has actually given me a perspective that it's almost I've come full circle. I can see what was happening in the mid-2000s and they're being, you know, being adopted by industry. And so I think that's informed, you know, my perspectives about where we could go with this organization. And it's been around for 30 years. and has grown to really focus in on that need for public and private investment in research computing. And so we serve as a trusted advisor to federal agencies like primarily the National Science Foundation and the National Institutes of Health, but we're expanding into the Department of Energy, Department of Defense, and NIST. Needless to say, I have a background in that with OMI, and making sure that the policies that relate to research computing and data services is supportive of research. So it's a nonprofit. A lot of work happens. I've been spending some time in DC, so that's been interesting as well.
You know, I love your story because you really have gone a little bit all over the place. I mean, and it all is connected at the same time. So like, you know, I think, you know, science / engineer / manufacturing, there are so many things that you can do. And even with AI, marrying it with AI is going to be so much more that you can do. How much fun is it?
I have to tell you, Michelle, I think it's really selfish of me because I am surrounded by brilliant people. And, you know, I can't tell you how much I've learned from everyone that I come, almost everyone that I come in contact with. It's their, you know, what they bring to the table is, I wish everyone could have the experience that I have on a regular basis, because I think, you know, it would give people a lot more excitement as to what our future holds, you know, or even what we're doing now. It is really just incredible, the people I get to work with on a regular basis. I feel incredibly fortunate.
Nice. All of our problem solvers, all you engineers out there, you know, I love engineers. They can solve anything.
Yes, they can.
Well, okay. Tell us what is in your future and how people can get a hold of you.
Oh, wow. Well, I think the best way to get a hold of me is through, I would stick with my email, kelly.81@osu.edu. It's K-E-L-L-E-Y. Next steps for me, we have so much on our plate with Hammer. And then, as I told you about the engineering technology program, so, you know, we're coming on our fourth year, and that's going to be the most challenging yet, because these courses are going to have to be right on, you know, spot on for the students. So I'm excited to see our first final year for these students roll out and see what happens when they enter the workforce. And
you know how big the class is?
Well, we started in the pandemic, wow. So it's a little small right now. We have, coming into the 23-24 school year, we'll have 155 students in, and it's only offered at the regional campuses, not at Columbus campus. So this is the first time that,
kind of a big deal. Wow.
That was a huge deal, you know, but we wanted to make sure that that the program was situated where the manufacturers were, there's no room right here in Columbus. So it is a College of Engineering major. It's a College of Engineering program. But, you know, starting up a program like this, at such a large university, we've learned a lot. And I'm just thrilled that we're able to accomplish this at the regional campuses.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
I should have led with that.
Yeah.
this amazing, just from a like organizational, just to propose and make that possible is amazing. And then to actually put a program around is amazing. So that's great. Man, Catherine, I want to talk to you like every other week. I get pumped about the future. This is
awesome. And with CASC, you know, we're coming on to their whole, and we have our biannual membership meeting, and then we're working with the Coalition for National Science Foundation funded organizations on a congressional briefing on AI, in fact, that will happen in mid-September. So I'm looking forward to sharing what comes out of that, too.
Ooh, we'll have to talk to her then, too.
Yeah.
You'll be a reoccurring guest.
Catherine, thank you so much for joining us on Midwest Momentum. And gosh, you know, the future is bright in manufacturing, and I love all the stories, and I can't wait to hear more on your podcast.
It's been great having you on the show, Catherine. Thank you.
Well, you know, thank you both. And, you know, all I can say is that, you know, let's break down those silos and do some more work.
Yeah, you got it.
Thanks for listening to Midwest Momentum on your favorite podcast site and great radio stations across Ohio.